Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Well, we have some interesting and alarming information to cover with you in the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll stay tuned. In order to set the stage and help you understand some of the things I'm going to be talking to you about, I want to bring to you a report on Islamic demographics. The Islamic population's rate of growth is much greater than that of practically every other culture. And they're taking over the world simply by having babies and teaching their babies to believe what they believe.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself, and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only a million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025. Just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
And that report is visual in addition to being audio, and it's being widely circulated on the internet, on places like YouTube. And if you search for it, I'm sure you can find it and then use the tools provided to share that with those in your circle of influence. The world has been telling us, warning us, scaring us for a long time that there is going to be a population explosion and that the earth cannot sustain this increased human population. And when I say the world has been scaring us, I'm using that term in the sense that the Bible uses the term world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The Bible describes the world and worldliness in terms of the world system, the corrupt world system that will hold sway until the messianic government is set up. And I'm referring to those ungodly parts of the Hollywood culture, the Hollywood producers that foist their ungodliness and their views upon the public, the beguiled and easily tricked public. I'm referring to the so-called science community that puts the lie of evolution out as though it were scientific fact, and all of the basically anti-life and anti-human forces at work in our culture, in our government, in our media society. They've been telling us for a long time that we need to stop having babies, that we need to kill unborn babies that are not desired, or that perhaps maybe might have a birth defect, or that just will be inconvenient. Birth control has become a matter of convenience so that sex can be relegated to recreation instead of procreation. And they've been telling us for all these decades that marriage is a scary thing, and it's old world bondage, and it's an old value system that needs to be discarded. They've been telling us that having babies will cramp your style, will slow you down, will ruin your life. And we're watching what has happened in all these cultures that have bought into this lie for decades, that marriage is the wrong way for young people to go, that having children within marriage is the wrong way for young people to go. And we see that many cultures now are having too few children to sustain their culture. Meanwhile, on the other hand, believers in the religion of Islam do not buy into that mindset. And while American families, for example, and pretty much all Western cultures are having almost no babies, very few babies per marriage, Islamic married couples are having many babies. And I just want to say bluntly that the biblical command to the human family in its entirety to be fruitful and multiply, that command has never been rescinded. Now, for people who don't believe the Bible, what does it matter to them what the Bible says that God has commanded humans to do? And many people do not believe the Bible any longer, and it makes no difference at all to them that God has issued a command to us to be fruitful and multiply. But it's interesting when you look at people that don't believe in the God of the Bible and they don't believe the Bible is God's word, many of them have adopted a stance that is anti-human. It is anti-life. These people, I'm talking about especially some of those in the environmentalist crowd, they will portray an image that the earth is this wonderfully balanced ecosystem until humans come along. And humans just ruin the ecosystem everywhere they go. And humans are just like this scourge, this plague, this vermin that they wish didn't exist, because Mother Nature, whom they practically worship, in fact, some of them do worship nature as their god, Mother Nature would do this wonderful job and everything would be so wonderful if there weren't just so many horrible human beings wrecking the place. And these people adopt a viewpoint that just will persecute and practically crucify someone for damaging the habitat of a certain bird, and yet they will murder human beings in the womb and fight for that as though it were some right that they feel they should be able to demand. Well, after all of these decades of portraying this multi-pronged approach against human life, we are watching the result of this. One nation, one culture that wasn't mentioned in that report is Japan. And the Japanese culture is disappearing because of their extremely low fertility rates. The Japanese women have simply adopted a stance of not having very many babies. And the Japanese culture does not have enough natural Japanese people to maintain their economy and maintain their country. Immigrants are pouring in, and the immigrants are assuming the positions and the jobs. And this is what I want to illustrate to you, that when a culture dies out because of a lack of babies being born, all of the history and all of the wonderful history and customs of that culture become just relics in a museum or relics in history books. No one comes along who is not Japanese and says, you know what, let's study the history books and let's fake like we're Japanese and let's imitate the Japanese so that we can perpetuate a culture that has died. That just doesn't happen. Certainly not in any numbers significant enough for a culture to survive the death of its population. And when these nations like Spain and Japan and France, when all of these nations, and sadly probably including Canada and the U.S., when all of these nations have their moorings reoriented to the Islam faith, and their voting base, their voting population, reoriented in their value system because of Islamic immigration and Islamic procreation and Islamic indoctrination of their children, then we are going to see the demise of the Judeo-Christian value system that is the foundation upon which America was built. And we're going to see the demise of practically any culture, whether religious-based or simply ethnic-based, as cultures are obliterated and the nation's value system is realigned by the increased birth rate and the successful indoctrination of their children by those of the religion of Islam. Now, if you don't care, if it doesn't make any difference to you that these nations will become Islamic nations within just a few years, then I suppose there's no reason for you to listen any further. But if you care about what's happening and you believe what the Bible says, then I want to ask you, what are you going to do about it? Now, there are a couple of things that you can do. One is you can stop buying into the anti-marriage, anti-birth rate belief system. The religion that is anti-life and anti-human, it is anti-marriage and anti-birth rate. You can stop buying into the propaganda and all of the multi-pronged way that they express that value system, and you can begin to have more babies and begin to strive through family devotions and through reading the Bible to teach your Christian faith to your children. Stop trusting some youth pastor somewhere with the most important job that a parent has. Stop trying to pawn off your responsibility on Sunday school teachers and pastors. Christian parents, step up, do what you have been charged by God to do. You've gotten married, stay married. Maintain your marriage. Don't set for your children an example of divorce, which teaches them that marriage isn't possible. Marriage, good godly marriage, is possible. Get your head in the book. Get your heart into the heart of God. Get God's Spirit into your life. Avail yourself of the tools that are available to help you succeed in your marriage. You have access to the Word of God, to God's church. You have access to the Spirit of God. You have everything you need to help you succeed in your marriage, in your life. Don't set an example of giving up, throwing in the towel, and quitting at your marriage. So you're married, stay married. If you're not yet married, get married. Unless you are gifted with the gift of singleness that the Lord Jesus taught about in Matthew, which is a rare gift to be able to be fulfilled by your work in the kingdom. And he said not everyone was able to receive that saying, only to he to whom it is given. Unless you are gifted with the gift of singleness, get married. If you're a believer, don't get married to a non-Christian. Don't get married to an unbeliever. Christian believers should only marry other Christian believers. Get married to another believer and have children. Be fruitful and multiply. Stop believing the lie about the population explosion and that the earth supposedly can't sustain the human population and that the human population is wrecking the eco-balance. Stop buying into the Darwinian lie that human life is just an accident, that all life is just an accident, and that it's just a roll of the dice that we're so terrible to the ecology and everything would be better off if we weren't here. Stop buying into the anti-life, anti-birth rate, anti-marriage mentality. Have children. Have lots of children. And then take responsibility for teaching your children to believe what you believe. Teach them the truth. Teach them the truth of God's holy word. Get the Bible out at your dinner table. Let me back up and say, get a dinner table. Cook dinner. Sit down as a family and have your meal together. And then when the meal is complete, and their tummies are full and they're happy and content, that's the time to teach them the truth of God's Word. Get your Bible out and read it. Parents, if you are afraid to try to teach your children Christianity because you're afraid they might ask questions you don't know the answers to, this is a frailty or a weakness that comes from a lack of knowledge and a lack of study. You can't teach your children what you believe if you don't know what you believe. Study, learn, read, and then be honest enough that if your children ask you a question that you don't know the answer to, simply tell them, I don't know. I'll try to find out. And don't forget, do study and find out what the answer to. I promise you there are answers to the questions. and teach your children Christianity in the face of a population explosion that is Islamic in nature and an immigration explosion that is Islamic in nature. It's easy for one to give in to helplessness and feelings of futility and that there's nothing we can do to change this. Well, I want to tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about the end time. And when we turn to the scriptures, we can read the back of the book, so to speak. We can read the end of the story and know beforehand how it turns out. And it turns out with the truth of God's people prevailing. But we're going to have to apply ourselves. We're going to have to work to be obedient and to seek the help of God. I will tell you that unless the help of God comes, it does look inevitable that Islam will prevail as the world religion and that Islam will take over nation after nation. And I suspect that we'll see some of this actually happen before God does what he is going to do to turn it around. Now, I mentioned that getting married and having children and teaching them to be Christians is one thing that you can do as a believer to help stem the tide. Another thing that you can do as a believer to help stem the tide is to witness to people, especially witness to the Islamic people. Witness to them the truth. The word Islam means surrender, and the religion of Islam is by definition a religion of people who are supposed to have surrendered to God. Well, if they have never repented of their sins and received salvation from God, then they are not in fact surrendered. And if you as a Christian have repented of your sins and you have surrendered your life to God, then you are the surrendered one. You are the one who is truly surrendered or Islamic. They are not the true Islam, you are. And I don't mean that in a sense of the handle that it is used to name a religion, but in the sense of its meaning. Learn how you can take them to their book, the Quran, and show them that it says that Jesus is the Holy One. The Quran says that. Ask them how many are holy. If they're truly knowledgeable about their religion, they will tell you that only God, Allah, is holy. Show them that the Quran says that Jesus is the Holy One. How many are holy? And the answer is only one is truly holy, and that one is Jesus. You can actually use the Quran to lead them to the Bible, to lead them to Jesus Christ. We are seeing great success in witnessing to Islamic people and winning them to the truth of the Bible, seeing them filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and seeing them water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our missionaries in Islamic countries, and I will not mention either their names or which countries they are serving, but our missionaries in Islamic countries are winning Muslim people by the thousands, and in some cases by the tens of thousands. God is doing a miraculous work to bring things around, and you can be part of that work. Study, learn, approach people who have experience in this to learn their resources, book, chapter, and verse references in the Bible and in the Quran. You can't win someone if you are disrespectful to them. Be respectful, but be strong in standing for the truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Now, have you heard about this? They're going to have a prayer gathering on Capitol Hill. Only it's not a Christian prayer gathering. It's a Muslim prayer gathering. Let me read to you from a report from OneNewsNow.com by one of their reporters, Chad Granick. A political activist and former GOP presidential candidate says he wonders whether President Barack Obama, who essentially spurned Christians on the National Day of Prayer, will give a special greeting to a Muslim gathering scheduled later this month on Capitol Hill. This Muslim event, called Islam on Capitol Hill 2009, will take place this Friday, September 25, 2009. It's being promoted as a day of Islamic unity to, quote, express and illustrate the wonderful diversity of Islam. The organizers also say they intend to, quote, inspire a new generation of Muslims to work for the greater good of all people, regardless of race, religion, or national origin. The event's website says that 50,000 people are expected to attend. Gary Bauer, chairman of American Values, says he would like to see those who come to the event take a realistic look at radical Islamic terrorism. He's quoted as saying, "I certainly hope that those Muslims who are there will denounce Islamic fascism, the kind of extremism and regular violence we see around the world to kill Americans and kill others. If they do that, then there would be something positive that would come out of the event." Bauer says he's curious how President Obama will treat the event, quoting, "whether there's any kind of special greetings or whatever. Most of us remember President Obama refused to do an event at the White House to mark the National Day of Prayer this past May, which was deeply disappointing and certainly put him in a category by himself in refusing to do that," end quote. In addition, last month the president made special notice of the beginning of the Muslim observance of Ramadan, producing and posting a 5-minute video that Bauer said makes him wonder if the president actually understands the threat the U.S. faces from radical Islam. Bauer says, "Unlike coverage of most Christian venues, the mainstream media coverage of the upcoming Muslim gathering has been very positive and supportive." Well, I don't suppose it's any news, but it seems that tolerance is open for any religion except Christianity. And acceptance and support and tolerance of one's religion is the right path to take, unless we're talking about Jesus and the Christian faith of the Bible. Why is that? I believe it's because there is a spirit at work in this world. And the Bible teaches us that he who now hinders or prevents will continue to hinder or prevent until he be taken out of the way. I interpret that to mean that the presence of God in his church and the presence of his church in the earth will continue to hinder the work of the Antichrist spirit in this earth. The church is actually keeping the Antichrist spirit from achieving total dominance, and the church will continue to hinder until the church is taken out of the way. This is interpreted to mean that we will continue to prevent the unification of the world against Christianity until the church is taken in the rapture. Things will get ugly very quickly in the lead up to the rapture and in the political goings on and the religious goings on in the world after the rapture. The book of Revelation tells about a 7-year period called the tribulation. And we see the stage being laid worldwide for the tribulation period. If you are not a believer, this is not a day and age to be procrastinating. You need to get to the church. We invite you to come to Christian Apostolic Church to repent of your sins, to be water baptized in the name of Jesus, and to receive the infilling of God's Spirit. The Lord is still pouring out his Spirit, and the waters of baptism are being troubled. We're seeing the Lord pour out his Spirit in many of our services. We're happy to meet with you for free in-home Bible study to help you move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Well, we're just about out of time, but before we go, I have something exciting to remind you about. We're doing Slow Smoked Barbecue this coming Wednesday. It's a fundraiser for a mission trip that we're about to take. Several Azusa Street riders from our motorcycle ministry will be joining with other Azusa Street riders from around the country in a national run to St. Louis. We'll be doing street evangelism in downtown St. Louis and watching as new converts are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we'll be baptizing them there during the annual General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International. We encourage you to order delicious slow-smoked barbecue and have it delivered to your place of business this Wednesday. You can order online at cac.us.com/ASR.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.